I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Yeah, it's your boy John Doe. You know what time it is, baby. It's Chocolate City Radio.
Hey, what they do, man? It's your homeboy Blood Raw Chickadee, you feel me? B-Row Steam, Mr. Motherfucking Rick Flip, jumping off the dresser that he is. Now tell me, right now you chillin' with my homegirl, Chuck Mommy, you feel me, on Chocolate City Radio. Yeah, this shit about to get real wet, homie. Now tell me.
What's happening? This is your man Money D, representing Mask and Digital Underground. And when I'm not having unprotected sex with your mama, I'm chilling out, riding a chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. You know how we do. We be killing them.
You're listening to The Vibes right now, hosted by the goddess, the queen, my babes, Chalk Mommy. And all of us right now, we all ride in the chocolate wave, because that's the only wave to ride on, isn't it? It's your boy Dylan Dillinger cruising. Let's get it. Boom, bang.
Tony Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? This goes out to all my humans. Right now, you riding the wave right here on Chocolate City Radio, motherfuckers. And I'm the one and only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? Right here with Chalk Mommy. That's what we do. We get it in, all right? You see me!
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Danny D. Just coming in to let y'all know that I love riding the chocolate wave with my favorite radio host, Chalk Mommy.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What up? This is your boy Noah Jones, Mr. Get With The Movement, or Move It himself. And right now I'm riding the chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. Holla at your boy.
This is that baby making music.
Hey, this is Vin Keaton, and I'm chilling with Chalk Mommy on Chocolate City Radio, the illest sex talk show.
We can do it all night long.
Hey, yo, what's good, Ja? This is Dude Stylistic. And right now, I'm riding a chocolate wave with my homegirl, Chalk Mommy. Let's get it!
What's up, y'all? This your boy, Carter B of 4Play Media Group, and I'm riding a chocolate wave with the Chalk Mommy herself.
What it is, man? Hey, this your boy's Cloud9 right here. You know what I'm saying? And what we doing is we riding the chocolate wave. Hey, got our motherfucking goggles on and everything. Let's do it. Hey, Chalk Mommy, fuck with your boys, man. Cloud9. Yo.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Chocolate City Radio. I am having all kinds of fucking technical difficulties today. My damn computer don't want to act right. Thank God I have a second one. So I had to go run and snatch that and then, you know, get ready for the show. I would like to give a big ass birthday shout out. Oh, excuse me. I'm sleepy. I didn't get enough sleep last night. I would like to give a big birthday shout out to Diesel from DSM. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday, boo. You my nigga. Actually met him last weekend, as you guys already know. So, you know, anytime somebody has a birthday, I always want to give them a shout out because this is a born day that God chose just for them. So, you know, with that being said, happy birthday, my nigga. So, today is Wild Out Fridays, and I'm already having a wild-ass day. Oh, my gosh. Today's topic is insecure bitches and insecure niggas. Like, damn. Like, at the end of the day, I'm going to need people to start having motherfucking backbones. And when you're involved with somebody and they have a previous family, like, what bitch you want to be with a motherfucker that don't do shit for his family or always want to be in the middle of some shit? But anyway, it's like, the show must go on. You know what I mean? I'll tell y'all about that later. Right now, all I want to do is play some music, relax. I even feel like drinking, but I'm tired. That's why I keep yawning. I took a nap earlier today, but I don't think that that really helped anything. So, you know, what I'm going to do is just keep it moving and start my day, play like one of a relaxing song for me and whatnot and get into the show. Shout out to all you fucking Miami fans. The motherfuckers pulled it off. I'm so upset and disappointed. That's all I can say. Tonight is Summer Jams. I'm here in Greensboro with Super Jams. We got Future, 2 Chainz, Wale, A$AP Rocky, and Ace Hood. Shout out to them for doing their thing. I would like to take a moment and have a moment of silence for Meek Mill's artist, Young Snoop, or Lil Snoop, and his friend. They got killed within 12 hours of each other. So let's have a moment of silence for them. And let's take another moment of silence for anybody that lost somebody this week. You know what I'm saying? Another moment of silence. Okay. So now that we paid our respect to the people that are not here, let's go ahead and start getting stuff cracking. I'm in a mellow mood. I'm chilling. I've got shit to do till tomorrow. So, you know me, I'll play fucking music and not even talk to y'all asses today. But, you know, I know sometimes I like hearing my voice. It's so sexy from what I've been told. I don't like my voice. So, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. So, let's see here. What am I going to start out with? Like, you know what? We're going to go back to some old school music. We're going to start out with MC Shan, The Bridge.
You love to hear the story again and again of how it all got started way back when. The monument is right in your face. Sit and listen for a while to the name of the place.
The Bridge.
The Bridge.
The Bridge.
The Bridge.
The Bridge.
The Bridge.
Hip hop was set out in the dark. They used to do it out in the park. Every place they said his name, it rang an alarm. Otherwise known as Mean T. Tom. A brother who's known for his rap, Jabby Jack. Larry Ladd, third, least not last. A cool brother by the name of Gas. Faith Brothers made you get loose. They was down with a brother called Cousin Bruce. They used to jam in the center. You had to pay so you could enter. Go to the door, get frisked just in order to get in. And if you wasn't from this town, then you couldn't fight and win. But every time they had a jam, they couldn't get no peace. So that's why the jams out there in the park they had to see. Cause you was in
the Bridge.
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 The Bridge. Sympathy the girl, she was great. Her and Molly Mar went cut a plate. They used to rock it out in the place. And the title of it was Sucker DJ. And then he strolled along one day. And then he walked into a girl named Shantae. Third in line, you know it's me, MC Shan, ha ha, in the place to be. MC Man, he made them beg. He is the man who was known as Craig. The newest member, out to get loose. Now he is down with us and he got the juice. This is a place where stars are born. And we are the only ones that can't be worn out by any place, any part of the world. And while I'm out on tour, keep your hand off my girl while she's in
The Bridge.
Dead dreams, bought and sold. You gotta try and receive your goal. However you do it, however you may, don't never listen to what nobody say. Cause I will tell you the deal. You gotta go by what your heart feels. Cause if you don't, you'll be misled by stupid little things put inside your head. Or someone else that you will see. They're trying to lead your destiny. Grab hold of your heavy chain, which people always pull and always trying to restrain. You heard just what I said. They're always pulling you back when you want to get ahead. They pull you back cause they're not with it. You talk about school, they're talking about quitting. Soon you see that time will fly, but you spent most of it out getting high. Thought about it much, much later. Could've went to school and been much greater. But you chose to leave that fate. Now you're sucking on a bone when it should've been steak. The whole purpose of the story I told was mainly to inspire you to reach your goal. Stop walking through life as if you were blind. You should reach for your goal cause I'm reaching for mine. And I'm from
the brick, 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 the brick.
Yeah. DJ at Low.
You gon' drink on what you drinkin', I'ma drink on what I'm drinkin'. I'ma blow some of that stankin', I'ma blow some of that stankin'. I'ma set the mood, I'ma set the vibe. I'ma come and scoop you up and thank you for that ride. I know you wanna find somebody you can be comfortable with. I know I wanna find somebody who ain't by glamour and glitz. Ice in cups with girls and drink, drink. Take these shots straight to your face. Let's toast up, this ain't the face. Trying to celebrate.
Now, this is why I came up with the topic of insecure bitches and insecure niggas. On Sunday, my son sent me a text message for Father's Day. And the message made me feel a certain kind of way because I was just like, oh, my gosh, you know what I'm saying? I was driving back from Fayetteville, and it almost made me cry because I was, like, really shocked that what he had sent me. So then I sent his dad, who was in the military, and he's stationed in Okinawa. I sent him an email basically saying, it's fucked up that you are not in your son's life. You don't call, you don't do Christmas. You don't call him for his birthday. And here he is graduating, and you still haven't called. So, I mean, or even email. So me, my frustrations was a mother because I've watched my son go through this for, like, such a long time to the point where he don't give a fuck about his dad, he don't give a fuck about his stepmother, and he don't give a fuck about his brothers. And I told his dad, like, in July when he came down here before he went overseas, like, yo, Johan, there's something you created. You need to fix it. Like, I'm not the bad person all the time. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, people paint me out to be the bad guy. So when him and his wife first started dating, she was 18, he was 28, and she used to have so much control over him, and she felt really insecure with him and me being together with our kids because she seen the bond we had with his firstborn son. So she made a comment like, once we start having our kids, he won't be coming around these kids. And I put that in the email because basically her words came to pass, you know what I mean? So my daughter had been talking to her, and, you know, me and my ex was going back and forth, and we said we was going to agree to never disagree. You know, we agree to disagree. That's how we get along, you know what I mean? And that, you know, I'm sitting here trying to be the innocent mother. But, no, I'm not innocent. I've been to prison. I've done everything. But at the end of the day, I did what the fuck I did so my kids could have what they needed because your ass was too busy being up in the motherfucker's ass to worry about what the fuck your kids had or what they didn't have. So, you know, me and his wife had got into it on Facebook, and he called my kid's phone, called me a bitch, and was cussing me out. So, of course, my son is going to feel a certain kind of way. So my daughter is talking to her stepmother, and she was like, oh, Trayvon graduated. We want to see pictures. And my daughter's like, oh, my mom and my dad have been talking, and my mom sent the pictures. Bitch. Her tone changed drastically in the text messages because my daughter's like, Ma, her whole conversation changed. She was like, oh. So they were supposed to call her, FaceTime her. They didn't call. Stepmother hasn't been texting her, anything like that. So I wake up this morning to a fucking mini book. This bitch tells me that I'm a mad mother. I've poisoned all four of my kids against her and my ex-husband, and after 19 years that I'm still thinking about them and thinking about her, and I should get over it, everything like that. And I started laughing like, bitch, you the one that got upset because I sent my ex-husband pictures of his son graduating and you didn't know about it. So you want to come out of pocket and everything. So I'm not about to go back and forth with this bitch about messages, because at the end of the day, bitch, I had him first. Those are my leftovers. I think we've been divorced for 16, 17 years. I haven't thought about him. But he's thought about me because he joined the Chalk Mommy site when it was on Ming. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you're in Japan and you're still worried about a person that hasn't been with your man in over 16 years. Where the fuck they do that at? Hi, Tone. How are you?
What's up, Chalk? What's going on?
Chilling. Yeah, talking about my drama for the day. That bitch emailed me at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's crazy. I know what, the obviously that tells you that whatever it was weighing on her shoulders if she emails you at 6 o'clock in the morning, because who wakes up emailing drama early in the morning?
Well, you know, they're a 12-hour difference because they're in Japan, and I'm sitting here like I'm laughing because I'm just like, everybody that read the email is like, oh, that's they're laughing because when you read it, it's like all insecurities. I guess she was like, she wanted to call me a hoe, but she's like, she's not going to go there with me, and that God saw fit to put a good woman in his life, which was her. Bitch, the nigga cheated on me, and he cheated on you. Only difference between me and you is you caught this nigga in the bed, butt-ass naked, with another bitch, and he used reverse psychology and talked his way up out of that. Fuck out of here. So I emailed her, like, you know, you'll need to email me. Anytime I feel like it, I'm going to email my ex-husband about our son, because I had my son with him, not with you, and you sitting there taking shots saying, oh, you're really getting old now. Bitches, I'm really getting old now. What the fuck does that make your husband? Because we're the same age. Like, don't do that, bro. Because at the end of the day, I can walk out the house, which I do every day, without makeup. I don't have brown patches. My face don't look fucking crazy. I don't have blemishes. Then let's see who can take their clothes off and take a picture, and who will pay attention to who. Your stomach looks like the Indy 400 racing thing or whatever. But that's beside the point. My thing is, at any given point in time, I can express how the fuck I feel of the treatment of my son by my ex-husband. I wasn't being disrespectful, but I was letting him know. Because if my son speaks to him, then it's going to be a problem. So then, you know, once I told him, like, okay, when you call their phone, leaving a voice message for me, calling me a bitch, did you not think that that would make him feel a certain kind of way? Then he was like, oh, I was wrong for that. And I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm not a perfect person, but my kids know why I was in prison.
And that was perfect.
Like, yeah, and I always keep a hot with my kids. They always know what the fuck I do, why I do it. And then as far as calling me a hoe, you can read whatever the fuck you want to read, see whatever the fuck you want to see. But at the end of the day, ask my kids, since I've been divorced, how many motherfucking men have stayed the night at my motherfucking house? They'll probably tell you like maybe 6 or 7 in like 16 years because we've been divorced. My daughter be asking me to ask niggas to come over and spend the night. Because she be like, Ma, have somebody come over. I don't want nobody coming over because at the end of the day, I never want y'all to see men coming in and out. That's never been my thing. I know my dirt outside of the house, don't get it twisted. But when it comes to my kids and what they see, they're not about to see all that because I don't want them to be like, damn, my mom just like such and such mom. Motherfuckers be coming in and out all times of the night. I'm just not going to do that. You know, so she emailed me.
You don't want to set the example like it's okay, because it's really not okay, because you see a lot of females do that. You know, they got kids at home and, you know, they're out
dating. They have all these uncles and shit. They like have all these uncles. So, like, nah, your uncle is who came out of somebody's coochie blood related or whatever. So, you know, she emailed me back not too long ago, and I was like, yo, want some real shit? Don't fucking, I said, stop fucking emailing me. And then I blocked her. Because at the end of the day, I'm bigger than that, and I don't have to go to her level because you still feel you're still feeling some type of insecurity because you still want to be in the loop of everything that me and this man talk about. We're not talking about secretly meeting. We're not talking about fucking. We're not talking about any of that. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but it don't matter because you still have contact with him. She feels like you still pose a threat because you still able to have some kind of contact with him. So it's like she's trying to make sure you out the picture completely. So I guess she feels like as long as you still email him and still stuff like that, there's always a chance. I guess that's how she looks at it. There's always a chance that you and him could still hook up.
We can ever hook up. He hooking up with everybody else. That's why our marriage didn't work, because he was a hoe. So my thing is, boo, I'm not a problem. We have kids together. We're going to forever communicate. We have grandkids. We're going to ever communicate if I feel the need to. I'm not going to go through you to talk to my ex-man. I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just not cool. Yeah. What's up, Chai? How you doing, girl?
I'm good, Chuck. I'm good. See, back when I was in my 20s, I didn't deal with dudes that had kids, not because I'm insecure, but because a lot of babies' mamas is insecure in this day and age. And they feel the need to get all up in the new relationship and insinuate themselves. And isn't this man and her in Japan?
Yeah, actually, they
are. So how are you a threat to her? How are you a threat to her? Halfway across the world. Like, she's married to him, is she not?
Yeah, they've been married about, as long as we've been divorced, 3 months after, listen, we had divorced in September, they got married in December. So we've been divorced going on either 16 or 17 years, I lost count.
Wow, say no, that's a little OD. I mean, in my current situation, like, I didn't want to jump into it, but, like, it is what it is. I don't really deal with those females, and they don't deal with me, and I don't be around the kids. But when I was coming up, before my mother got clean, because she was an alcoholic, she used to have different men in and out of the house to the point where some of them actually behaved a little inappropriate with us girls, and she never believed it. So now, like, that she's clean and I'm a single mom, I have a 13-year-old son, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do my dirt. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm perfect, but I don't bring it home because I don't feel it's appropriate. That's not the type of example I want to set for him.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like she's tripping. Obviously, she was up for a minute thinking about it to compose that long-ass email. She got
Girl,
it off her chest.
When I saw you, that bitch was long as hell, because what's crazy is I had spent the night with a friend last night or whatever, right? So my phone died, but I happened to look at my emails and everything, and I see Alize, and it has Trayvon. I'm like, what the fuck? Then she's like, oh, congratulations on him graduating, like, this fake-ass, phony-ass speech or whatever. And then she starts going into all this other shit. I'm like, what the fuck? Girl, it fucked up my day, because I'm like, why is this bitch emailing me, and why is she trying to start stuff, and why is she trying to talk shit when she doesn't know me very well? She hasn't met the new me. I will tell you about yourself. Put your motherfucking ass on blast, and when you come back to the motherfucking States, I will beat your motherfucking ass, because I owe you an ass whooping for spitting in my daughter's face. But you're claiming that you have the stepmother award of the year, but we haven't addressed that, because that happened when I was locked up. So when I saw her in July, my grandkids was around, so that wasn't the time. And plus, I was about to take my ex-husband. We had to go to court, and I needed to make sure I got in his pocket. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, who does that? I'm like, you know, we have not been together. We don't get along like that. But you still feel in a certain kind of way. And I'm like, you know, when she was talking about it's going on 19 years, boo-boo, it's only going on like 17, because when you met him, Trey was like turning 2. So I'm like, where in the fuck is this coming from? And I emailed my ex-husband again and was like, look, I don't got time to be going back and forth with your wife. When it comes to me in hours time, I will email you and tell you what the fuck I need to tell you. Only time I'm emailing you is concerning his education. Other than that, I don't give a fuck to talk to you. We ain't ever going to be friends because she doesn't want that. So my thing is, and this be tripping me out because a lot of men, y'all get involved with fucking females that feel a certain kind of way and want to drive a wedge in between you and your baby mom or whatever. And y'all can already be on a cool relationship, like friendship, because you got to get along for the kids. But then you start dating females that feel insecure or may not have kids and then want to come in and fuck up everything, and y'all
yep.
dumb enough for petting them.
Yep.
So my thing is, you know, pussy must really be that good to you to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because even when she said, once we start coming around these kids, once we start having our kids, he's not going to come around these kids, he laid his head in her lap and was like, yes, mommy. Really, my nigga? Really? Alright. Not a problem. I was a single parent before I met you, and you gave me two. I got two more. I'm good. I mean, you're not going to make or break me because I'm a strong black woman. And I proved that because I raised my four kids by my fucking self after we divorced after 6.5 years. So men that are out there, the ones that are strong and be like, y'all can separate your relationship from your child's mother and still co-parent, shouts out to you. Females that can be in a relationship and still co-parent with your child's father, shouts out to you. Motherfuckers that let bitches and niggas come in and their insecurities
yep.
fuck up a smooth relationship with you and your child's mother or father, y'all can kiss my ass because y'all weak as fuck. Like, at the end of the day, your child comes first no matter what, because that's something that you fucking made. And if a motherfucker can't understand that, then that motherfucker don't need to be with you, or maybe you need to
right.
reevaluate yourself. Hey, Daddy.
I had that problem with my ex. He didn't like my relationship with my son's father. He used to make little quick sidebar comments about that shit. Oh, what you got to take the nigga to work for? Because he gets paid today and I need my money. My son needs diapers. Are you going to buy them? Oh, I didn't think so. That shit ended within like 6 months and I got tired of it. My son is more important.
I mean, that's how people are. I'm trying to bring Jazzy in, but my damn computer is acting stupid. I've been having technical difficulties all fucking night and I don't even know why. Jazz, are you there? It's still trying to let her in. Like me, if I'm dating a dude and he got a problem with kids, this, that, and the third, yo, my nigga, they'll go to the front door. They'll go to the front door. I've never been with anybody that has ever wanted to mistreat my kids. You don't lay hands on my kids. I want my own kids' ass. I don't need you for that. I don't need a stepfather for my kids. And so I just be like, oh, my gosh, like, there's like so many dumb people in the fucking world. Like, when I did the blast this week, and I was talking about the dude that was asleep on the couch, his girl came back home with another nigga, they went upstairs, fucked, and he woke up to the smell of breakfast. He goes in the kitchen, there's another nigga in the kitchen in his basketball shorts. That people like, that shit didn't happen. Yes, that shit did happen because that was my son's father, my middle son, because I read this shit on Facebook and then I called my son like, what the fuck? And he was telling me, and I'm like, wow, that's really crazy. Like, that's crazy as hell. That a female could get that drunk, go to the club, and what, forget that you're living with somebody and then bring another nigga home? She ain't even bold enough to do no shit like that.
Gotcha. That's how people get killed.
Most definitely. He's like, the police came.
Look, they'd have had to pull me off of them
But that's not cool at all. How you get that drunk and bring another dude home with your dude there sleeping? I don't condone violence in any way, shape, or form against women, but yeah, she would have deserved an ass whooping. I'm sorry, I'm a little old school. You don't shit where you eat.
Oh, I'm like this. She would have got her ass whooped. Old dude would have got some motherfucking hot ass grits thrown on his dick or whatever.
You so southern.
Because every time he look at his dick, he going to beat that bitch ass. And then he'll be like, you know what, never again. Next time I come home from the club, I will always, like, you know what I'm saying? I won't go home with no strays from the club. What's up, Jazzy?
Hey, girl, what's going on?
Talking about insecure bitches and niggas.
Yeah, I heard that had you a little bit heated, girl.
Yes.
I felt the frustration through the phone. But I mean, I always have to play devil's advocate when I come on the show. And honestly speaking, I don't think that the current wife is up. I don't think she's mad at you. And I don't think that email was meant to lash out at you. She's mad at her husband, but she can't take it out on her husband because she already knows what time it is for him. So you were the outlet. But I really think it has very, very little to do with you.
Jazz, we've been going through this for a minute. Even to the point where at one point in time, when I wanted to speak to my ex-husband pertaining to the kids, I had to talk to her. It's like she had to screen the call, see what the hell I wanted, and relay messages back and forth.
But again, I think it still just has very little to do with you as an individual as opposed to what time it is with her husband. She's only acting like that because she knows her husband is a hoe. She caught her husband cheating. So,
yeah, but my thing is, this happened even before they, you know what I'm saying? Even when they started dating, it was a problem. We've been going back and forth with the insecurity. So it's really nothing you can play devil's advocate on. My thing is, chicks, when you're involved and you the side chick with a fucking married man that has a family, that shit that you're going to have to fucking deal with because they're going to interact.
That's what I'm saying. So she knows what time it is with her husband. So she's lashing out at you because what can she say to him? Because that's how she got him, right? So you know that saying, the same way you get him is the same way you lose him. So how can a sideline hoe who became the main chick by default get mad because he may have another chick? Like, that's what she was. And she's not stupid, so she knows. So she's taking it out on who she can, because she can't be mad at him, because what he going to tell her is, bitch, that's how you got here. So how can you get mad?
Nah.
If I would have never cheated in the first place, I'd have never had you.
He ain't going to tell her that. He's just going to be like, yes, mommy, whatever you say, mommy, you're right, I'm wrong, I shouldn't be talking to Pam, you're right, I will never talk to her again, I won't talk to the kids again because that's not what you want and that's not what makes you happy. That's the kind of nigga that he is. Like, what the fuck? Like, nigga, get a backbone.
Well, I mean, I still feel like...
She wears the pants, and it's funny, because I'm just like, even when my kids used to call and ask for shit, he would be like, oh, mommy, is it in the budget? How the fuck you going to ask her, is it in the budget for you to take care of your motherfucking kids?
Right. I don't know.
So no.
I've been on both sides of the coin, you know? I mean, as you know, like, me and my boy's dad have definitely had our ups and downs, and we've had our moments of being separated. You know, we've been separated for years at a time. So, I mean, I was a mom very early. I had my oldest when I was 19. So I've dated other guys, and it's interesting when you date other guys because they don't understand the fact that you have a kid, and there's some levels that you have to communicate with that person about, because there are things that need to be done. At the end of the day, regardless of how our relationship was, that's still the father of my child or my children now, plural. So there's like, there still needs to be that communication. And even for me as a woman dating other guys, I will not fuck with a dude if he ever tells me that he does not rock with his baby mama like that. I'm not saying that they have to be BFFs, you know, walking, singing in a park, but that speaks volumes about you if you guys can't even be civil. Like, I feel like there needs to be some sort of civil union there, because then that's the only way you can be a great dad. You cannot be a good dad if there's no sort of civil union between the two of you. If you guys can't have a conversation or at least agree to disagree enough to say that we don't have to interact with each other, but we're going to have a mediator of some sort, then that speaks volumes about what type of dude that is. Like, can't tell me that you don't see your kids because your baby mama is crazy. Like, no fly zone for me. We're probably not going to date. And I would never, like, I've dumped guys before because I felt like they weren't enthused enough about the fact that I had kids. I'm not saying they should want to, like, have sleepovers with my sons, but, like, I was listening to the young lady on the line when she was like, she's dating a guy who has kids and she doesn't really fool with the kids, whatever. If I was on the opposite end of the stick, that would be a giant red flag for me. I probably wouldn't fuck with a dude who was like that. I would move on to the next thing, because you cannot have an interest in me without having an interest in my kids, because they are an extension of me.
Exactly.
So it's just, you know, having children is a very, very sticky situation. There needs to be a delicate balance there. But definitely I think that there needs to be some sort of co-parenting. Like, my boy's dad has children outside of my boys, you know, from during, like, he had a kid before we met. And then, you know, during the times that we were separated, he was with other women and you know, had children too. And even still, I say the same thing to him. Even though we're back together now, I tell him the same thing. Like, yo, like, you need to make it right with, you know, with your kids, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And they don't have to speak to me. That's fine. They don't have to deal with me. But you need to, like, be a good parent. Like, you need to deal with your kids. And all of your kids need to be able to get together and understand the fact that they are, like, brothers and sisters, regardless of who the mom is or who the dad is or whatever the case may be. Like, they're one unit, you know? So, I don't know. It's sad that adults take out their issues on children, because that's essentially who it hurts, are the kids anyway.
True. It's just, I don't know, it baffles me, because I can see dudes, right? And then it's like, okay, you get mad at your baby mama, whatever, you can't stand that hoe, you can't stand that trick, whatever. But then it's like, you know, when she go out or whatever, you be like, okay, you know what? I ain't about to cope with the kids, or she move on or whatever. And I just be like, at the end of the day, like, grow the fuck up, because it's not about you. It's about your damn kids or whatever, and what's best for them.
Yep.
And it was like, I think the part that just pissed me off the most is when she was like, I am a terrible mother. Why? Because I went to prison? That does not make me a terrible mother, bitch. I went to prison hustling to make sure my kids had what they needed, because your husband slash your father wasn't doing it. You know what I'm saying? He'd rather see me without shit than to do what the fuck he was supposed to. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I look at it as entertainment, because if you still got a problem with me, you still have some type of problem with me. Even though you and your husband been together forever, he give you everything, he do everything for you, but then it's like, you want to take shots at my age. I love being 44. I have friends that didn't make it to see 44. And 44 isn't really getting old. You're seeing life. My kids are grown, so I can live my life for me now. My youngest is 18. He graduated 2 Sundays ago. So I'm living my life. I'm good.
Right.
I just feel like sometimes people worry about the wrong things.
Well, I mean, you know, that's always. People are going to talk about you till the day you die, you know? That's inevitable. And like I said, I don't even think realistically that she's mad at you. She may be. It may be a little bit that's upset at you, but I think she's just mad in general. She's mad because I mean, I definitely think there's an insecurity thing there, you know, because now you're talking to the woman that I cheated with you on, right? Like, the only reason why she left was because,
like,
she got tired of your
really
shit. It's not like you left her.
I left him. I left him to move. She had just met him. She was in the, you know how, like, you meet somebody and y'all kind of be talking or whatever? Because the nigga came home every day after work. You know what I'm saying? We fucked up until the night I left to drive back to North Carolina. So I left him, and then I guess he was so tore up because I left and she was there to pick up the pieces, so to speak. But my thing
well,
is,
that's
honey.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, she probably has that feeling there because it was like it wasn't a matter of him leaving you. Because I think that makes a difference. If a man leaves a woman, then the new woman that comes along may have a little less insecurities because she's like, well, he left her because of X, Y, Z, A, B, C. But if you pick up and you leave a man, then the next woman that comes along feels insecure because it's not like he wanted it to end. You know? So what if you want it back? And that's where it kind of comes back to, like, I'll tell you, even with my kid's dad, like, during the time that we were separated, one of the times that we were separated, he started dating this older woman. And I, at first, liked the chick for him because I felt like she was really all about him. Like, there was nothing that she wouldn't do for him. Like, she loved him so much. And so when he used to call me to talk to me, I used to tell him, like, you need to make this thing right. Like, you need to, like, get your shit together because she really loves you. Like, don't fuck this up. You know, like, don't fuck it up. You need to, like, work it out and be with her. But she was still so very insecure. And I know he made her that way because he was still out there doing his thing. But he, you know, made it a point to tell her that if I wanted him back, that he would leave her for me. Well, that fucked her head up, I'm sure. So ever since then, she hated me. Even though I'm like, I don't give a fuck about his ass. Like, you can have him. Like, I hope shit works out. As a matter of fact, I'm coaching him up because I want for y'all to, like, work together and be together. But even to this day, like, the chick hates my guts. For what reason, I don't know. Like, why do you hate me so much? And it's mainly because I left him. So because I left him, she felt like I was more of a threat as opposed to the other way around. So that's just how women are. They get insecure because men don't make it a secret. They'll say it. Like, she left me. Well, if she left you, then that means there's a possibility that if she wants you back, that you might go back.
But I think
even 14 years later.
Yeah, but I think with how my ex-husband is, he wouldn't tell her that. It'd be like, oh, I left her because this, that, and third. Because he doesn't always tell the truth or whatever. And I just be like, you know, what is that? The bottle is half empty, is half full, some shit or another. You know what I mean? And I just be like, at the end of the day, I don't know what y'all got going on in your household. I don't care to know. Just at the end of the day, just know that you have a child. That, okay, he graduated, but now it's time for college and put money aside for him so you can get the necessary paperwork so I can go ahead and handle that. And then I don't have to deal with you anymore. You know what I mean? I keep it moving.
Right.
Moving. My son goes to college and we're fine. You know what I'm saying? And if you decide to come over and everything like that, you know, come back over to me, my son wants to deal with you, then, you know, maybe he will deal with you, or, you know, maybe he won't, who's to say? But, you know, like you said, that's something you're going to have to take up with God. So you go ahead and take that up with God, and I pray that everything works out for you. But at the end of the day, you know, they have to, my son has spoken up. So when my son does speak up, then people are going to feel a certain kind of way because then it's going to be all the buildup that he had and all the animosity, and it's going to come out, you know?
Like I said, it's very sad that people get their kids involved. Like, they're not mature enough to think beyond that, you know? Like, it's very, very sad. Like, I don't know. And I've learned a lot, too. I can't even say that I'm perfect because I've learned a lot, too. Like I said, I had my oldest when I was 19, so I was a relatively young mom, very young and dumb. And, you know, I used to get mad, and I wouldn't talk to him for weeks and months at a time, you know, when my son was younger. And I didn't realize how much that hurt him. And I wasn't doing it necessarily like on some you can't be with my son type stuff. It was more so like, well, I'm not dealing with you because I'm not dealing with you. Not realizing that me not talking to him was in turn like my son not communicating with him either because he was so young at that point. And it caused a terrible strain on their relationship because when I lived in Baltimore, you know, he had very little to none of interaction with his dad. And so when we came back to California, it was very difficult for my son to adjust. And it was difficult for him, too, because although he loved his son a lot, it was still like he really didn't know him. And that was really shame on me. That was shame on me because I was still in a certain kind of way and because I was so over him, I took my son away because, you know, I was the primary caregiver. And so as a result, he didn't really have the opportunity to build that bond. And, I mean, that was probably the most horrific thing I could have done as a mom to my son, to deny him that opportunity to, like, function with his dad on a daily basis, you know? Because phone calls don't do it. Phone calls and occasional, you know, photographs, that kind of stuff, it doesn't do it. And if women understood that more, that, like, regardless of how you may feel about it, like, you have to make shit work for the sake of your kids. Unless he's physically harming you or your child or, you know what I'm saying, like, there should be no reason why he shouldn't have the opportunity to function with his kids as much as he wants to, regardless of how he treated you or regardless of, you know, what you guys' the situation is. There should be no reason as to why he doesn't have that opportunity because it doesn't do anything but destroy the kids, regardless of just, you know, boys or girls. Like, girls need their daddies and, you know, sons need their fathers. So either way.
I agree. I completely agree. But sometimes, you know, things get carried away. People get carried away. They don't really think about the kids. They be so caught up in their feelings or whatever. Because, like, at the end of the day, when I moved away from California, I came back because 2,500 miles is a long-ass distance for my kids not to see their dad. And my son was a daddy boy. They were together every day. So I moved back to Cali. And it was just fucking retarded. Like, you know, me being there by myself, no family. You know, I have friends, but it's not the same. Like, if some shit jump off or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, shit. You know, there's nothing. Nobody here to, like, really help you. Fucking California, all the fucking Mexicans around and all this dumb shit. And I was just like, you know, what in the fuck? So we have a caller. Fucking last four is 1248. You're live on the air. Hello?
Hello, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I can't complain. This is Giovanni.
Hi, what's up?
And I like what you just said. I just tuned in like a couple of minutes ago, but I heard the last of it. What you said was real talk because, as you know, I got six kids, and my health has been challenging. I know the condition to for my children. It'd be nice, really, point of view, you know what I mean?
Your phone is horrible.
Oh, yeah. I know what it is. It's not the way. Okay, so, is that better?
a little bit.
Yeah, so when it comes to like there's times that I can't get around because of my health, or I've been constantly hospitalized over and over again. But the people is like only with so much of a position you can take against someone who's trying to see his kids. I don't know. Sometimes it's like it really is a war, and it's a scat.
I mean, it's like sometimes people have to find a happy medium and be like it's the kids, because my parents, coming up in the childhood that I came up in, my dad and my mom used to fight. My dad was very abusive to my mom, and, you know, my mom, I guess, was trying to say because of us. I promised myself that I was not going to stay in a relationship for my kids, because what people don't understand is when you sit there and you try to make it work for the kids, when the kids get older and they see your real disappointment and everything like that, they start feeling a certain kind of way, because they be like, damn, my parents wasn't happy because they stayed together for me. And that's a lot for a child to have. That's a big ass burden for a child to carry. It's better if motherfuckers split up and co-parent and be friends. But when you sit there and you together and the arguing, the bickering, and the separate bedrooms, and all the other shit, and seeing other people when you go out with your parents, and that's your new auntie or your new uncle or a super friend, don't tell mommy, don't tell daddy. All you're doing is just fucking your kids up in the long run.
I mean, you
100%. I can definitely agree with that. I think that it's better to just be apart as opposed to trying to force things to make it work, you know?
I mean, I agree, because realistically, I don't have to force you to be my friend, and you don't have to force me to be your friend. We can definitely be friends, and it's best that we part ways and at least have the children in a part in the village than to mess around and have.
Because that was my parents when they did that. I mean, they split up when I was 9, but that, dang. I be sitting there, like, looking at my kids, like, you know, some of them are in good situations, some of them in bad situations, and I be like, if the motherfucker makes me sad, then I ask you, fucking leave. Get your kids on the leash. You should never be that fucking miserable in the relationship, or, you know, you wake up for a little bit and see a motherfucker and be like, damn. If I'm rolling over and I'm saying damn, and it's not because damn I want some dick, then damn, it's time to go.
You so stupid.
I'm just saying.
Can you hear me better now?
A lot better.
Now, I was just asking, can you hear me better now?
Yes, we can hear you now. We can hear you now.
But, I mean, I don't know. Co-parenting is, you know, it's tricky. And it goes both ways, though, because sometimes what happens is one person will let go, but the other person has not. Or maybe even both of them have not, right? So that's why I think there are so many insecurities, because, you know, it's always that stigma of the whole baby mama, baby daddy type thing, where it's like, well, you know, he's my baby daddy, so we always gonna be fucking. Or, you know, that's my baby mama, so I'm always entitled to, you know, to X, Y, Z, A, B, C. And that's what makes other people so skeptical when they enter into these types of situations, because of that social stigma. So they're not really sure. Like, if you're too cool with that person, then perhaps maybe it's because you guys are still, you know, still feeling a certain kind of way. So
anybody that comes to me, especially my kid's father, is like, oh, no. I better reminisce on when I hit that back in the day, because I know there was
Well, we know how you are. I'm not saying you in particular. I'm just saying, in general, not everybody has that hit it and quit it attitude, child. So some women, you know, they grow very attached. And I'll tell you, like, even with my situation, like,
you know, even with my situation, it's like he has children. You know, he has a daughter with his ex, and she is like psycho Michael. Like, he'll tell her it's over. He'll tell her with me on the phone. He'll tell her, you know, to her face by herself. He'll just tell her, like, I want no parts of that. Like, and she still doesn't understand. She doesn't get it. But then it's like, when she gets mad, though, then it no longer becomes about her feelings. Then it becomes, like, her daughter. So then it's like, well, you don't have a daughter. This is not your daughter anymore. You don't have to worry about calling. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Like, if a person is a good parent, whether it be mother or father, that's it, that's all. Parenting relationship, a relationship between a parent and a child is totally different than that between them and their ex-mate or, you know, whoever it is they helped make that baby with. Totally different ballgame. And people have to understand how to recognize the difference.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said that they do.
I was going to say, in all fairness and honesty, it's like I've been asking because if I'm done with you and you're done with me, then it doesn't matter if we have kids or not because my objective is going to be to take care of the kids. But the craziest thing is when I'm done with you and you're not done with me, then no matter what I do, good or bad with the kids, you're going to always keep the relationship going one way or another. So it's like with me and my ex, we got 6 great kids. Our children are awesome. But the thing is this, I'm done with it. I filed for divorce because I was really done. I mean, it wasn't like we could work it out. We had gotten to the point where we were a wrap. It was over with. So as far as, like, I think Aston said that some people, they keep going, you know, because you're the baby mama, I can still hit it and vice versa. But then, like, for me, once it's a wrap, it's a wrap. There's no playing games. I don't even want to make a mistake and get close to you like that because realistically, we done. If we wasn't going to be done, then we'd still be together. But once we're done, we're done. So it's like, I love my children. And she's played games. I mean, I won't lie. I can't bring the children, or the children are busy right now. They can't come to the phone, or they're not going to be here this weekend. All that's all well and good. But I realized one thing. I think I was talking to you, Chuck. I was talking to you last summer. I told you this. And you was like, yo, that's deep. I said, the same key that locks you in is the same key that frees you. So the same way you're going to use the children against me, I'll sit back and watch you use the children against you. Because, see, it's okay to tell me I can't see my kids, but the thing is, that's 6 kids you got to be with all the time, and you don't want to do that all the time. I love you, though. So the reality is I'll wait until you beg me to see kids for a month or two because I get them on my weekend. Now you're going to try to give them to me for the whole month, and I'm going to take them because I love my kids. But real talk, what's a wrap? It's a wrap. That's it. I had nothing to say.
Well, not only will it free, not only will she get, like, burnt out with having, you know, to be with them all the time, but in addition to that, as long as you continue to put forth the effort, the kids will recognize that and they will know. So when they get older, when they are old enough to understand or old enough to choose for themselves, they will know what it is that you did or what it is you didn't do, and they will know what it is that their mother did or what she didn't do. And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, if you're genuinely putting forth that effort to be with them and to establish a relationship and she's blocking you on all levels, then they will grow up and they will have some sort of resentment or animosity towards her for preventing you from being the parent that they needed, you know. And, I mean, it's sad. It happens with men and women. So I don't think it's just a baby mama type thing. I think that some men do it, too, where they don't want to be around the kid because they can't be with the mom. So I think it goes both ways, but it's so important that people grow up enough to look outside of themselves and to understand that it goes deeper than this. It goes deeper than sex. It goes deeper than this love affair that I have with you. Like, this is about a whole nother human being, or in your case, you know, 6 of them. So it's like we have to ensure that they grow up to maybe prevent from making the same mistakes that we made.
you know, or so that they can grow up to see what it's like to be a strong man or a strong woman, or to be with the opposite sex as a strong partner, so that perhaps they have long-lasting relationships and lasting marriages and have the ability to raise fantastic children. No kid should be a product of a broken home.
And see, what you just said is real talk, and I guess I'm not trying to get a pat on the back, but I'm from Brooklyn for real. I was born and raised in Crown Heights. I had an option of going back to New York after my divorce was final. But I was like, I'm not leaving my kids anywhere. This is my family. It's not like these are just my children. It's not like they're just my dependents. This is my family for real. I made them. They're part of me. I'm not leaving them nowhere. I don't care how great the mother is or how bad she is. I'm not leaving them nowhere. So it's like, I don't look at them as being, you know, children from another relationship or just my dependents. This is me. So I've got to stay with them. I've got to do all I can do for them. And the funniest thing is, when you said something real deep, they'll know. When they get older, they'll know. My children will rather come with me, come to my house. Now, I do thank God. I mean, I've been blessed with an incredible house, real tall, like 10,000 square feet. So when they come to my house, it's also in Scottsdale, which is, quote, unquote, the richest city in the world. That's what they say. So when my children come out to see me, they always got jokes.
Scottsdale, Arizona?
Yeah. So
okay.
My children be like, oh, I'm going to go to Scottsdale to see my rich dad. I'd be like, come on, man, stop that. I mean, my kids, they'll actually get on the phone and be begging me, Dad, can I come to your house? Mom says she'll bring me out there if I can come. So I'll be like, yeah, you can bring them out here, but I got to bring them on Friday. Long story short, they be pleading with her to come to my house. They have never come to my house and pleaded with me to go home to her house. So I'm sitting back thinking, you know what, in essence, this is something my parents probably, your parents probably told you the same thing. If you do good work, somebody's going to recognize that. If you really put the work in, somebody really is going to recognize that. That's my children will be recognizing that. So what you said is real true. I mean, if you really put your forth, if you put forth the right effort to really raise the children in the right way where they can become wholesome, healthy, and balanced, it's going to hit the right soil and it's going to grow. And the children will grow with a balance, even if the mother and father can't be together, because I can't be with her. I mean, long story short, if she said, let's get back together today, I couldn't do it if I wanted to. So it's like, as long as my children see that we are working together and we're working out the best way we can work it out, then they will grow up healthy and balanced. But the only thing I'm saying, I guess my whole point is this, as much effort as I put forth, she do be blocking it, real talk. But one thing for sure, my children recognize that. And my children be feeling it like that's my crew. I feel like, for real, we can sell drugs together. So, I mean, we can do a job together because my children be feeling it like that, you know, just thinking, you know, we love you. We're going to be in your corner. We got you. I'm thinking, I don't want you to take sides. I always tell them, I don't want you to take my side or your mom's side. Take God's side. But real talk, they be taking sides like, Dad, she doing you wrong. I'm like, man, that's deep. So what you said is real. I mean, children are dumb. They're not blind. They're not deaf. They really do.
Oh, no. Children are far from stupid. You know, they understand a lot more than we think that they do. And let's not use terminology like I would sell drugs with them to describe your closest. You have a little league team. Let's say we could play the ball game together. They so close, I'm like the coach, they like the players. Let's not use, you know, New Jack City terminology. But I get your point. Like, you and your kids have a very special type of bond, which is fantastic, you know, and I think that that's so very important. Because regardless of how a woman may feel, and I'm not female bashing at all, ladies, so I hope nobody is mad. I know we're talking a lot about baby mamas, but it does go both ways, you know. But no matter how a woman may feel, the man is the head, period. And he has to set an example. And like I said before, rather it be he has daughters or sons, he still needs to set that example. Because if he has daughters, he needs to show her what it is to be treated like a lady so that she's not treated like a hoe later, you know. Or if he has sons, he needs to raise his son to be men as opposed to not, right? So
the father really is the head, and I think a lot of the times we as women, especially black women, which is so unfortunate, we've always had to have this, we are so strong, we could do it on our own type of mentality, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I think we try to conquer the world in terms of wearing everything on our shoulders, and sometimes we're so naive to our own strengths that we don't understand that this goes bigger than us. So, yes, I'm strong enough to be a single parent if I have to be a single parent. But that doesn't mean that my children are strong enough to grow up without their father if they don't have to grow up without their father. You know what I mean? We can't make the choices for our children because it's not about us at that point. We have to think outside of ourselves. Not saying that we can't do it because we've done it, and we've done it for very many generations, and we've raised some fine children, you know, whether they've been scholars or not. Like, women can do it, but we shouldn't have to. And so if we had that opportunity where we can get that co-parenting help, maybe, you know, it might not be the way we want with the white picket fence and the big house and the dog and we're together forever, married for, you know, 80 years. But if we can get that help, that co-parenting help, we need to be strong enough to recognize that we have to take that in, as opposed to saying we don't need you to do it all on our own, because we do. Maybe not we need you, but your children need their fathers. And same thing to men when they get mad and they're like, oh, well, she could do it by herself. Like, she don't need me to do shit. No, she may not need you, but your children need you. Maybe you don't have a dollar in your pocket. That's fine. There's other things you can offer besides money. You know, there's mental support. You can teach your son how to tie shoes. You can teach your daughter how to ride a bike. Like, there's so many things that you can do to put that presence in their lives as opposed to not. And I think once people get that part down, then it will make us as a society a whole lot better. It will strengthen our generation, because that's what we're lacking right now, parenting skills. That's why people are running around crazy. That's why we got so many badass kids shooting up stuff, robbing people. That's why gangs are the way that they are. Like, I'm in California, you know. Gangs are so out of control. There's so many kids gangbanging or young adults gangbanging because they didn't have fathers in the home. You know, and their mom maybe had to work 2 and 3 jobs, so she was never home. Like, that is really the root to all of our problems. You put fathers back in the homes, doesn't have to be the same bed that the mama sleeps in, but just back in the picture in general, you will be surprised how drastically things may change.
Tone, your line open.
Yeah, thanks. I was just listening to everybody go back and forth. But what's up, Chalk again? What's up, Jazzy, and everybody that's out there tonight?
What's up, Tone?
What's going on? Yeah, you're definitely right. Everything that you were saying, Jazzy, is definitely correct. The reason why you got a lot of kids doing gangs because they need that attention. It's not so much they want to be gang bankers or want to be, you know, fighters, but, you know, you interview a lot of these kids in the street, they are gang banging, they'll tell you, so that's my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't do them no wrong, even though they're out there, you know, robbing and stealing and all that. But that's their family, because they don't got no family out there. They ain't no father around. He's probably in jail. The mother's out in the streets. You know what I'm saying? So that is a lot of time. And also another thing also with the whole baby mother and the whole baby father, a lot of females tend to use the kid as a form of a weapon to get back at the father for what maybe he might have did to her. Like, maybe because maybe he cheated on her or whatever he did, she'll try to hold the kids against him a lot of times. And that's where the whole disagreement be coming in between, you know, the woman and the man over the kids, you know. And like what you were saying about your crib in Arizona or whatever, the kids might want to go chill with the father more or vice versa, and it could be some kind of jealousy there. You know, you as a parent, be like, dad, my kids don't want to chill with me no more. They got to go chill with their father or whatever. All right, fine. You know, so it becomes kind of like a, I wouldn't say a jealousy, but more like a shot to your ego, you know. And all that comes from, you know, you raising your kids, you know, when you know, just because a kid is maybe 10, 12 years old don't mean they don't know what's going on. They know what's going on. They don't know what they're right. They don't know exactly what to say and how to react to a situation, but you want to be out there in the streets running back and forth and doing what you want to do. Kids see all that. You know, kids see more than what we think. That's why they always say usually believe what a kid says or whatever. Because they know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? But I think a lot of females, especially females, you know, dudes, we like, all right, you know, it is what it is. Whatever you did to me, you did to me. I'm not going to use the kid. You know, females, they'll use that quick. Well, I'll hold the kid's attention. You won't be able to see that kid. Why? Why can't I see my kid? I don't want to see you. You know what I'm saying?
I
like, why you going
to disagree with you there, Tone. I love you to death, but I don't think that that's fair to single out women like that, to say that women do it and men be like, oh, nah, well, whatever you did is what you did, because that's not true.
No, but what I'm saying
men
is in a lot of cases
too.
It be like that, though.
No, I don't even think so. I mean, I think that, yes, you're right. A lot of women do it, but I think it's just as equal with men holding vendettas as well, where they feel like they don't have to come around now because, fuck it, she kicked me out the house. Like, we're not together no more, so fuck her. She could do it by herself. Or, I mean, think about it. How many times do relationships end when the chick is pregnant? Or how many times do relationships end when the chick is like, just had a baby or whatever, and the guy just washes his hands and walks away because he moves on to the next relationship. So I think that it's equal across the board. Like, I think that it's unfair to single out women because men do it just as often. And the thing is that it's not classified as jealousy at that point because women are known to be far more emotional. But men are very reactive. Women are emotional. Men are reactive. So they react in that type of manner depending upon what the situation may be. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, to be honest with you, it's funny you should say when like, women get left and they get pregnant or something like that. When a man and a woman breaks up, the majority of women get on that independent waiting to exhale tip. I don't need a man. I can do it all by myself. Or I'm single. Thank God I'm doing it all. No, like you said earlier, if you have to be a single parent, then you do what you got to do. But if you don't have to, that's the number one choice. But most women don't look at that as being the number one choice because they want to get on that independent tip. I don't need a man. I can do things by myself. But in the process, they hurt their own children by giving them that false impression that they can do it all by themselves because they can't. A mother and a father were actually made to be together, not apart. So when that father comes around, and I'll speak for myself. When I come around, I'm trying to get the children's life. But the thing is, the mother don't want me involved because, you know, effectively, we think differently. That's why we're not together. So she might allow my sons to experience some negative stuff. I'm not going to have that for my sons. My sons are going to stand up and learn how to do things like a man would do it. But it's because we're different, and they live with her, and she's the primary caregiver. Basically, her rules is what they live by. So realistically, she don't like it when they come around me because they get a different sense of empowerment and an emancipation as crazy as can be. It's off the hook. But when they get around her, they walk on pins and eggshells and needles and all that stuff because they always trying their best to live up to something they can't be. So, I mean, realistically, when I say they can't be, she got these false expectations for them that put them into left field. So it's like when they come around me, I accept them for who they are, and we grow to being better. But when they go around her, they got to live up to a false expectation. And when they fail because the bar is not set high, but it's a different kind of bar altogether, then all she does is reprimand them for failing. But in reality, if you accept the child for who they are and help them get nurtured and grow with them, they'll grow well. But if you're trying to make your son to be another Picasso, you can't fault him because he can't paint like Picasso. And that's the whole problem with females. When a female hears a man who's no longer in her relationship, no longer in her life, empower or comfort their child, then she gets upset because that's not according to her plan. Now, with a man, like Tone said, men be like, yeah, that's all right, man, whatever, whatever, because, you know, you're going to be who you are. Most men. I can't say all men, but most men. Whereas most women, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but most women want things done their way, and their way only because they're the primary caregiver. And they're only the primary caregiver because the courts are biased. Y'all know that's true. So the reality is you got a bias set up in the courts, unless the parent is like, unless the female is really abusive or a drug addict, she won't get the primary deal from the court. So because the court gives it to her, she got power over man because of his kids. She's holding kids ransom. So a man got so much he can do before he's violating the order. So that being the case, he can only do what he can do, and that's talk with his kids. If his kids feel him, she gonna definitely hold and pull strings against him because, like you said, I think Aston said it, she gonna try to get even with the dude for whatever the relationship was all about. If the dude cheated on her, the dude broke up with her, whatever the case is, and she got kids by him, she gonna make him feel that. She gonna make him feel the power of the courts by not letting him see his kids when he's supposed to or when he wants to.
Well, this is Jackie, not Ashton, but thank you very much. But this is Jackie, not Ashton. But I feel like you guys are women bashing. You're female bashing right now.
We're not
right
women
now.
Bashing because we use it, because you're saying that women, 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 and this is what women do,
and this is what women do, and this is how women are.
Because we're
I understand
from
that you're personally scarred, but that doesn't mean that every woman is that way.
We're speaking from a man's point of view. You're speaking from a woman's point of view. Chocolate is here to defend the woman's
position. But then you also say in the same breath that men don't do that. Like, no, well, men, we just be like, that's not true. And yes, I am speaking, you know, from the point of a woman, but I'm also being objective because I know that it's not one-sided. And I know that there's three sides to every story, his, hers, and the truth. And that's the problem, like, and realistically, that's probably 85% of the problems when it comes to situations like these is the matter of perception. Because I'll tell you what, sir, I don't remember what your name is, so I apologize in advance, but I'll tell you what, with regards to you and your six children and your ex-wife, you have your version, she has hers. And I guarantee you that if the two of you tape recorded yourselves about what your story is and then exchanged the tapes, they will be two very different views as to what went on in your relationship to make things the way that they are and as to how she felt about your parenting as opposed to how you felt about hers. Because there's perception, and everyone perceives things differently. So I think it's very unfair to say that women, 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 it's a matter of perception. So in her eyes, she feels like she's doing the right thing.
Okay, I appreciate everything you just said. I like what you said for one reason. If you ask my ex-wife about my parenting skills, she'll tell you I'm probably the greatest father she ever knew. But then if you ask about the relationship, she'll throw all my parenting skills into it with the relationship. So in other words, no matter how good I am with the children, she'll always personalize it because that's where she's coming from. She's not looking at me as just a children's father, the relationship is over. She's looking at me like that guy that was in the relationship that didn't take the garbage out, or that guy who burnt the eggs in the morning, or whatever the case is. But that ain't got nothing to do with the kids. It got nothing to do with my children. And now with me, I'm not even looking at what she did in the relationship. I'm just looking at the fact that she's the mother of my children because that's what it is. I have to talk to her. But otherwise, it would have been a wrap. It would have been over with her. But because she's the mother of my children, I got to talk to her. And that's it. I'm not looking at the relationship. I don't even care about that. I mean, she's not the first girl I broke up with, so I'm not even stuck on that. She's stuck on the fact that her, this is going to make you laugh, her feelings were hurt. She was really disappointed. They ain't got nothing to do with my children. I got no time for that. I got Brown, like Sweet Georgia Brown said, I got bronchitis. I ain't got no time for that. So real talk, no matter how hurt you were, get over that, man. We got children. That's all we talking about.
So I understand what you're saying, and in theory, you're right, right? Because I've said it throughout the entire show. The two don't, like, the two pass shit.
What the hell happened? Y'all there?
Okay, I'm here.
I'm here. You hear me?
Okay.
Probably was a glitch in the system real quick. But go ahead, Jazz, you still got the floor.
No, I was just saying, you know, I understand that the two things are very different, you know, but, like, realistically speaking, while you feel like, okay, my relationship is one thing, so, okay, yeah, your feelings are hurt, so what? You need to get over that. I want to see my kids today. In her mind, she is very hurt. And so, a part of being a good dad or good mom, because it goes both ways, is to learn how to compromise. And so being in a co-parenting relationship, while it doesn't mean the two of you guys have to be BFFs and you have to buy her a Christmas gift, right, or start dating her again, you do have to learn how to be civil with each other. And the only way you guys are going to be civil with each other is if you guys can sit down and have a conversation. So maybe, just maybe, and I'm not like a licensed psychiatrist by any means, but maybe, just maybe, it might be worth your while to sit down and listen to her and understand what it is that she's feeling so that you guys can get past it and move on. You told her to move on, but she can't move on until she gets closure. And she's not going to get closure until you acknowledge whatever it is that happened in your relationship. So maybe once you resolve that, not saying that you guys have to work it out, because that's different than resolving. But if you resolve it, then perhaps the two of you guys can be better parents. Because now there is no gray area there, right? You've eliminated it. So now you guys can focus on being parents. But she can't focus on co-parenting because she's still so hurt. So until you acknowledge her hurt, it's always going to be that blockage there.
And what you just said, Jasmine, I want you to tell me how you work this up. Me and you in a relationship, we've been married for 13 years. So me and you have been down for 13 years. For whatever the reasons are, we broke up. Now, the thing is, I accused you of cheating. You told me you did. That ain't got nothing to do with kids, though, but I told you you were cheating. You said you didn't. You were just talking. Y'all were just in bed talking. I'm like, okay, that sounds like a game. That sounds like some whole move. And if that's what you do, that's how you really are, I'm okay with that. You ain't the first one I met. You won't be the last one, so I'm good with that. But because you have my children, I'm not going to drill you. Because you have my children, I'm going to respect you. We're going to keep it civil. Now, what that means is, for real, I accept that you are who you are. I don't have a problem with that. You have my children. That's cool. But now for me to sit there and listen to you deny over and over that you did anything wrong and I was really misunderstood and I really misconceived what was going on, I'm not trying to hear all that. Now, again, I'm the father. I'm going to treat you respectfully and civil, but I'm not trying to be your psychiatrist either. I'm not trying to be your therapist. And if you really want to cleanse your feelings, go to a church, see a priest. Remember, I'm not trying to be all that. All I want to do is love my children, man. I mean, I'm paying my child, like 50 Cent said, I'm paying my child support. What the fuck you want? I'm good. What more can I do? So, I mean, I feel what
and
you're saying.
Again, I get what you're saying, but understand that your children are a product of you and their mother, okay? So in order to love your children, you have to love what they have come from. Meaning, not only do you have to love yourself, but you have to love her as well. Doesn't mean you have to be in love with her, because there is a very big difference between loving and being in love. So you don't have to be in love with her, but you still have to love her, and you have to respect her, because that in turn is going to be a symbol of how you love and respect your children. And I know you don't think that the two coexist, but they definitely do, because I'll tell you one thing. Regardless of what you may think, just like how your children are looking at your baby mama, they're looking at you too. And so the way that you treat their mother is always and forever going to be in their mind as well. Now, again, doesn't mean you have to be all lovey-dovey with her, but it does mean that you have to respect her and that you have to love her and show some sort of genuine concern of whether she is okay or not, her personal well-being. Because if not,
yes,
then you're lacking something. Now,
I mean,
again, it's not one-sided. I'm not saying that you have to do it all on your own. There definitely needs to be some sort of, you know, needs to be a happy medium. She needs to do the same thing as well. But because you want this to work so bad, perhaps you need to step outside of yourself and place your feelings in your back pocket or in your lockbox and leave them to the side for a little while and be the bigger person to initiate it. Perhaps. Now, I mean, it seems like it's worth it enough to you to want to do that because you care about your kids just that much, right? So with that being said, I would think that you would want to do whatever it is possible that you think would work in order to reestablish that type of relationship that you want with your children. And you want to have that relationship where she can call you and say, hey, come pick the kids up. Or you can say, hey, I'm going to come pick the kids up. As opposed to it being some sort of plan documented, well, then it still doesn't work. Like, nobody wants that. It's not healthy for anyone. But in order for you guys to get to that point, you have to have some sort of understanding. And you still need to genuinely be concerned for her. The same as she needs to still be genuinely concerned with you. Doesn't mean you guys have to be romantic, but it does mean that you have to establish some sort of understanding and some sort of feeling.
I mean, right now, we are civil. I won't even pretend. We're civil and, I mean, it's probably as good as it will get because we are civil. she does call me from time to time. You want to come get the kids? And I will give her a call. You know, y'all want to do a family dinner. So, I mean, we are civil. We're not enemies. We're not beefing. I'm just saying there has been times when she would block a lot of, like, I go pick up my daughters once a week and take them to dinner. You go to a nice sit-down, a plated cotton, a cotton tablecloth kind of thing. We do a real nice, fancy dinner date. So I take my two daughters out. They'll go there, they'll order off the menu, they'll get the soup spoon and the salad fork and the meal fork. I mean, it's a nice restaurant. It's like a $50 plate kind of restaurant. So I take my daughters there once a week only because I do want them to see what it's like to be treated decently, respectfully by a man. So I'll call up in the middle of the week like, yeah, I'm going to get the girls, and it'll be cool. So we're not enemies. We're not beefing. We're not throwing stuff at each other. We're not cursing each other. All I'm saying is that there's some things that really she has blocked because the children are impressed with me. They love me. They really are genuinely impressed. Like Tone said when he came on, it do sound like a jealousy thing. I mean, I'm going to pretend she was really, she did real good. Let me know that she lived in a nice 2,000-square-foot home. But I moved into my place. She made sure the kids didn't even see it for like a month and a half. And when they finally came, they wanted to stay because my place was like a warehouse with furniture. It's a huge house. She didn't like that. And she didn't like it because one of the kids told her, you can, mommy, you can
maybe
fix your house.
Maybe she didn't like that
because
you bragging too much. Maybe that's it. Maybe she didn't like it because you bragging too much. What does she live in?
Oh, she lives in like a three-bedroom house. But the thing is, I've never bragged
with
on where I live.
How many bedrooms do you have?
Again?
I said she's living in a three-bedroom with six kids. How many bedrooms do you have?
See, now you're trying to make me feel bad, real talk.
No, I'm not. I'm just, my job is, I'm always busy. Ask Chop. You can ask Tone. I'm always devil's advocate.
I got 9 bedrooms and 11 bathrooms.
Okay, so you have 9 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, while your baby mama, who is the primary caregiver, as you have acknowledged, lives in a 3-bedroom house, right? And I've heard you say more than once in this conversation about how big your house is and how luxurious you live in. Maybe she is mad. She might be a little bit pissed off at the fact that you left, right? And you have her living like this and you're living like that, and maybe she wants to live in 5 bedrooms. Maybe she feels like, hey, maybe he can help me live in 5 bedrooms.
I gotta play the devil's advocate because at the end of the day, he worked hard for what he had because he went from the bottom to the top. So,
and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, and I'm not saying that he should do any of these things. Your money is your money. I'm not saying that you should feel obligated. But I'm just saying maybe that's why she's mad. I'm not saying that you should go out and buy her a bigger house. We trying to figure out why is she so damn angry, right? Maybe that's why she's mad.
Well, I can tell you that's why
she's mad.
She
might be angry more.
My son told us, Mom, you can fit your house inside Daddy's living room. So when I heard that, I was like, man, I felt bad because I don't talk about stuff. I'm not materialistic. So it's not like I'm bragging on how big my house is. I'm just saying realistically, these are things that have been said. And when she came in the house, she walked in my house one day. I didn't even know she was in there. And she was taking a tour of the house. And I was like, who's in my house? And then it was her. She never once told me it's nice at all. And that's so funny. It's like, when a person's talking to you and they do everything but tell you your shoes are nice and you know your shoes are banging, well, that means they kind of hate on your shoes a little bit. So, like Chuck said, I went from the bottom. So I wasn't always living like this, but I went from the bottom for real. And when I was going from the bottom, she was making sure the course knew I was at the bottom. So when I finally got where I'm at right now, she made sure not to acknowledge it whatsoever. And it's not a matter that I wanted to kiss up or anything like that. It's just that real talk. I worked hard for it. So it's like I feel what you're saying, and that could be one of the reasons she's upset. No, baby, I know for sure that's one of the reasons she's upset, but it's not my fault, though. It's not my fault I'm not living in a shelter. It's not my fault I'm not living in the street. God did this for me, nobody else. I didn't do it for myself. God hooked it up like this. So realistically, I love my children, and their children, okay, for example, when my children come to my house, we'll sit down and play the intelligence game, and the intelligence game is when I'll start off with, like, Arkansas, and then you got to say a word that begins with the letter S. So you might say San Francisco. Somebody got to say a word that begins with a letter O. So we played this game for hours, and we just played the intelligence game. When they at home with her, she's shipping them off somewhere. They're going to somebody's house. They're going to some event, some kind of activity, but she don't want to really spend time with them like that. So with
have
me,
you
I'm
ever thought that perhaps
time.
Maybe your ex-wife is depressed?
And see, you make me sound, you will make me sound horrible, but for real, I got nothing to do with that.
You do, though. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I get the fact that you have moved on, which is fine, because obviously there were some things in your relationship that you felt like you couldn't salvage, right? And that's why you moved on. And that's okay. It's okay to move on. But you can't say that you don't have anything to do with the fact that she's the way that she is. Now, regardless if she was the one that was cheating or not, because I'm not saying that you're wrong for leaving, so don't get me wrong there. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you do have something to do with her emotional state at this point because you are involved with her. So as a result of whatever happened in your relationship, whether it had been her messing up or you, right, so it doesn't matter who messed it up, but it was still the two of you together that were in this thing. So you do not to say that you're responsible for, but you are a part of whatever it is that she's going through. So you can't say you don't have anything to do with it because you do. Now, whether you are the guilty party or the innocent party in the matter, you do have something to do with it. So she could be depressed. She could. So that might be why she doesn't really want to deal with the kids that much. Or, you know what, maybe because she did mess up and she probably realizes that she was wrong, right? Because sometimes it takes people moving on and seeing what they can do without you before you get that aha moment to understand that, like, I fucked up. So maybe she's in that I fucked up mode, right? But she is not necessarily trying to keep your kids away from you because, oh, I'm so mad at him. But maybe she's mad at herself. And so maybe she's fearful of exactly maybe what's happening, which is your kids going closer to you as opposed to her because of the things that you're able to provide versus the things that she's able to provide, right? And maybe she can't cope with that. Maybe it's very difficult for her because she doesn't want for her kids to love her less than they love you or want to be with her less than they want to be with you. That's a very difficult thing. As a mother with two sons, like, even though, you know, me and my boy's dad were together, but we hadn't always been, right? There have been many years that we've been separated throughout our relationship. And I will tell you, as a mother, and he will probably say the same thing, like, it hurts when your kid is like, no, I want to go over to this person's house, as opposed to staying with you. Because my son's father is an asshole, so he does stuff like that. Like, so who you want to live with? You want to live with mommy or you want to live with daddy? You, Jeremiah, you want to come over here and you want to play the Xbox every day? We can go swimming and go to, like, he does stuff like that, not to be an asshole on purpose. Well, he is an asshole on purpose. But that's his, like, that's his funny. That's what he does to be funny, right? Because he gets a kick out of the kids saying, oh, daddy, I want to go stay with you for the summer. All of his kids do that. They love him to death. Why? Because he will beat the shit out of them, but he's also the fun parent, right? So they love hanging out with dad, which is okay. But sometimes it could be a little hurtful because you're like, I'm with these little motherfuckers all the time, and now they just want to go hang out with their dad all summer. Sometimes it can hurt as a woman, but because of the nature of your breakup and the fact that you guys do have so many children, not only is she dealing with her emotions, but then she's dealing with the emotions of six other people that she cares for. And to know that all of a sudden this might be taken away from her because of a mistake that she made could be taxing. It could be very taxing on her. So perhaps it has nothing to do with you necessarily in terms of she hates the shit out of you. She might just really be mad at herself at this point. And she
we
hoping.
Have a call from 8244. Your line is open.
Hello?
Hey.
What up?
How you doing, Hurt?
I'm good. For me, everybody got a valid point. Everybody got a valid point. But it's, it goes more, you know, whatever's done, said or done, is everything should be for the betterment of the children. Accountability and responsibility to the children. I don't agree with having to love each other, but you must have respect for each other. You know, we can be cordial. I don't have to love you. I really, like, me and my daughter's mom can't stand each other. But we have that mutual respect where I'm not going to throw shit on her name in front of the kids and vice versa. I can't speak for her. They're at a stage where they want to know anything. But you got to ask your mother. I can't speak for her. I can speak for me. You know, and when we sit down and we talk, I acknowledge my faults. You know, as you get older or progress as an adult, you start to look back, reflect, acknowledge your mistakes, learn from your mistakes, and the ability of you to move on as an adult or progress as an adult is to be able to go back and right your wrongs. Even if it's, you know, one day I picked up the phone just out of the blue to just make it right between me and her. She thought I was dying. She thought I was clearing my conscience because I acknowledged everything that I did wrong. But when everything is said and done, I don't want no guilt on my conscience. And to get that off my chest helped me move on and put whatever issues we had behind us so we can move on together. You know? But at the end of the day, it's about just protecting your child, nurturing your child, raising your child. Whether you do it together or separately, each one of you should be a fine example of what your child should grow up and aspire to be. You know, I'm not fucking with you, so I don't see my kid, or I don't want to be with you, so you can't see your kid. That's that bullshit card that a lot of adults play. And the only person that really suffers are the children.
True. Yep, I think you hit the nail on the head. I do have one question for you, though. When you picked up the phone that day and you acknowledged your wrongs, do you feel like that brought you two closer together as co-parents? Do you think that helped you guys form a better bond for the sake of your daughter?
Not really. For me, it was more about closure and just being able to move on. You know what I mean? Because as a man, for me as a man, a lot of times you don't want to acknowledge your wrongs. It's always easier to blame somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sitting back and you start doing soul searching and you really examine your life in retrospect, you know where you fucked up at. You know how you fucked up and you know who you fucked up on.
Mm-hmm.
And as a man, it's your job to go back and apologize. She doesn't have to, like I told her, you don't have to accept my apology. But just know that everything I'm about to say is from my heart. It's not gonna benefit me none. At this stage, we're not together, so it's not gonna benefit me none. This is all about just being honest with myself and acknowledging that I fucked up. And hopefully this will give you closure and make whatever you're going through a little easier to handle and move on with. Because, like, she's, like, when, like, that's the only say, when a woman's fed up, ain't nothing you can do about it. Yo, she's just a scorn, like, the minute they say my name, she goes off. And it's like, damn, you know, like, yo, we've been apart so long, we don't even talk. Is your life that fucked up where you can't let go and move on? And maybe she can't. So for me to acknowledge what I did and say sorry, maybe that's what she needed to move on.
Yep.
You know what
you
I mean?
You made a and very, very
was,
good point.
That's what it was for. Just for me to just put that behind me. So maybe it gave her the closure she needed, but it gave me the closure I needed and I was able to move on. You know, I don't hate her. Like, I don't love her, but I don't hate her. I don't wish her bad. Her business is not my concern. What she's doing, how she's doing. It's none of my concern. It's, as long as my children are being taken care of, or they okay and they don't need anything, then it's none of my business what happens with her.
I tell you the truth, that sounds like deja vu. And you might remember this, but I talked to Chuck about last August. I called Chuck. I had tears in my eyes. I was crying because I was like, man, I don't believe I'm going through all this madness with my children and our mother. That's when we're going through that dependency hearing. I had called you that day, and you said the exact same thing. You said, well, maybe you need to just go ahead and clear the air with her, et cetera, et cetera. So I wrote a nice letter, a nice email. I did exactly what my man just said. I apologize for all the things I did wrong, so I didn't have no animosity or no ill feelings towards her. But that right now the children are the key thing. And it's funny because when I cleared the air, I guess that's the day that I really honestly was able to move forward. And in the process of moving forward, I took on the same attitude my man just said, because for real, what you do with your life, that's not my concern. How you feel about it, that's not my concern. How you think about me, that's not my concern. I got nothing to do with that. I mean, I know how I treat you is the only thing I can deal with. I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to be civil. But you're not my girl. You're not my future girl. And you're not my future baby's mama. You are the mother of my children. And that's as far as we go at this point. So because I felt that way, I'm taking on the attitude, I got nothing to do with your problems, man. Good or bad, that's not my day. You're not my girl. You're not in my life like that. You're the mother of my children. As long as my children are well-fed, well-dressed, and taken care of, not being abused, I'm good. So even if, like, my oldest son has told me that there's sometimes mom be arguing on the phone. I don't want to know who you're arguing with. I don't want to know what the argument's about. I got nothing to do with that. That's between you and you. However you run your life is on you. As long as you and your arguing friend ain't bothering my children, we all good. So it's like everything
see,
that my man
said. I think that that is a problem. And the reason why I say that is because you have to be concerned with her because she is the person who has your children primarily. Just like if you were the person that had the kids primarily, she would have to be concerned with you because you know what? Your kids are in that environment. So if she's arguing on the phone with some guy, if she's crying, if she's not mentally okay, right, because she's depressed or whatever the case may be, she loses her job. If she, whatever may happen with her affects your children, whether you want to believe it or not, period. Because you know what? Your son, it affected him enough to the point where he felt like he needed to tell you that mom was on the phone arguing. So that affected him. That bothered him. So while it may not be your business in terms of who she's fucking or, you know, who she's seeing or whatever like that, that's not your business, right? Her personal affairs. But whatever happens in that home is your business because that is the home that your children live in. So it does affect you because she can't separate the two. Now, if she left home, she got a babysitter, she left home and she was outside arguing with a boyfriend, she got a black eye, whatever the case may be, then, yeah, that's shame on her. That's on her at that point. So, no, that's none of your concern. But if a man comes into the home and he's arguing with your baby mama in front of your kids, that's a problem. You know why? Because your kids are there. So they're affected by that. So you need to be genuinely concerned with what she's doing and how she's doing because that ultimately affects your children. And the same thing vice versa. Like I said, you know, during the time that me and my boy's dad was separated, I was genuinely concerned, not because I had a romantic interest in him, but because, you know what, when he's with my children or even when he is not, he's still the father of my children. So if something happens to him, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, it affects my children. Because they are an extension of him. He is a part of them.
There's certain things you can't control, and that's one of them. If she chooses to see somebody else, other than visitation or going for full custody of your children, there's not much you can do.
Seeing somebody
else
is fine. I think that the person should have the opportunity to move on. But you don't want your children, like, I think that there is a balance. Like,
Right. If
you're, for example, with your situation, you said, okay, we have a respect for each other. I never talked bad about her in front of my children. She never talked bad about me in front of my children.
Nah, she trashes me in front of my daughters.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. But,
so,
I mean,
me,
so
for,
your respect
for me,
that you
it wasn't
had
about
for her.
That.
So the respect that you had for her. If she started dating a man who
never did anything to your children, but maybe was abusive towards her. I would expect for you as a man, as a stand-up guy, to not necessarily, I'm not saying you have to go referee and be like, oh, I'm going to fuck you up. Not saying that, but you should be genuinely concerned. And if I were you, I would say something. Not because you want to be involved in her business, but because that affects your children, because your children see that.
The only thing, like, me and old boy, we had a conversation because, like, at the end of the day, like I said, I'm a man first. And I feel if she moved on, you were who she want to be with. So I'm their father. Eventually, we got to meet each other. So let me come to you and let me explain to you what's going on. Don't come between me and my daughters. That's all I ask. What y'all do, none of my business. Just don't come between me and my kids. If you come between me and my kids, then it's going to be a problem. Are we on the same page? He said, I understand. Da, da, da. We never had no problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's all I ask. That's all I ask. You could trash me. You could do whatever. The reason why she's resentful is the same thing with dude on the phone. Oh, I'm going to show him. And they figure you're going to fall on your face. But then when you pick yourself up, clean yourself up, and move it on, they look back like, damn. And, you know, you got them girlfriends like, damn, girl, your man looking good. He doing good. I seen him over here. Yeah, you feeling it. You feeling it. And instead of saying, you know what, he was an asshole. It didn't work out between me and him, but he's a great father. Nah, they just want to fuck your life up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that comes both ends of the spectrum. So men do it and women do it.
No,
you know,
I'm just speaking from my personal experience.
Right.
I'm not trashing women. I'm not trashing women.
I think that
it's, 'cause it goes both ways.
It's a very mutual thing. Yeah, you're right. It does. It's very mutual. And the fact that you are stand-up enough to have that conversation with her significant other, like, hey, these are the house rules. That's what it is. But you at least acknowledged it. And I think that's what it takes. It's a matter of acknowledgement. So you have to have that cordial type of interaction with each other. You can't be like what's going on with you. I don't give a fuck about what you're going through. You have to have some sort of cordialness. Because if you don't, it's never going to work. If there's that brick wall there between mom and dad, it's never going to work between mom and dad and the kids.
See, my pops always told me, you don't have to be with your daughters all the time to be a good father and a good role model. If you come, when you get your time with them, it's not about the quantity of time, it's the quality of time that you spend with them.
Absolutely.
You lead by example. So if you lead by example, as they get older, they'll know who's right, who's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They'll know what to do and how to move. And I never understood it until they started getting older and I started really seeing, you know, like, wow, they're learning, they're doing things outside of the house that they wouldn't do because their mom's is who she is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, that's all I focused on was when I got my visitation, when they was with me, just being the best parent, father, role model, example I could be. You know, I can't teach. A man can't teach.
Example, I'm sure that a part of being that role model and example for you was the fact that you did show that respect towards their mother. Because I'm sure that things would be very different if maybe you treated her the same way she treats you. So if you trash-talked her the way that she trash-talks you, I'm sure probably the dynamic between you and your daughters would be a little bit different. But because you were respectful and you chose to, like, not even mention that situation or not down-talk the mom, I'm sure that helped out a lot with your daughters because you are setting that example and you are being that role model of what a man should be. And a man should never be spiteful and bitter towards a woman. And so maybe your purpose, maybe you didn't set out with that purpose of caring about her, but in all retrospect, you do. You are showing that you are genuinely concerned because you were concerned enough to make it work for your children, that you did what you had to do to make things cohesive with her as a parent. So although your intentions weren't that way, that's essentially what you're doing, which is my point exactly. Like, there has to be some sort of cohesiveness. Doesn't mean you guys have to love each other and go hang out at the movies, but you do have to have some sort of cohesiveness in order to be good parents, period.
Boy,
so
a lot of times,
you, like, it seems like you're doing a great job.
No, my daughters are done. They're older now, so they're on their own. I'm going through my second childhood right now, where all my money stays in my pocket. Yeah, all my money stays in my pocket. They grown, so I'm living. You know, all I wanted them to do is just graduate high school with no children. Just get a diploma, please. No kids. And they did. I'm happy.
I have a very long way to go before that happens. So I'm praying that we make it that far.
My hat's off to everybody raising a child now. You know,
it's very different, isn't it?
For me, it was easy because it wasn't cell phones. It wasn't the computer age had just started. So you was really able to regulate what they watched and who their friends were. And now cell phones and everything is so readily accessible to these children. You do the best that you can to prepare them for the real world and not to lose them to the real world. And it's hard as hell, because you got so many people trying to steer them wrong, from the music to the movies to their friends to the internet, and I couldn't do it.
Social media taking over
people's lives. Yo, if somebody were to tell me right now that they're pregnant, I would kill myself. My life would be over, because I couldn't see me going through trying to raise a child now, because it's so hard. And that's why I have so much respect for mothers, fathers, anybody raising a child today in this day and age and giving it 100%. I'm not talking about the half-assed parents. I'm talking about the real parents. And my hat's off to all of them.
I'll tell you what, you're right. It isn't easy raising kids in this day and age. And that's why I said in the beginning, you know, this conversation, I genuinely feel like the father is the head, regardless of how we may feel, because if there were more fathers in the home or more fathers actively involved with their children, society would be a lot different. This new generation will be a lot different than it is today, and there would be a lot less nonsense going on, because kids wouldn't have to turn to all of the fuckery that's out here nowadays as their role models or as their, you know, their standard of living, because it would be different. You know, not to say the dad has to be perfect, because he doesn't, but at least he's there to teach them, hey, this is what I did, you don't want to do it. You know, or if he has led a great life, then here, this is what you want to be like, you know, but it would change the dynamic a lot for our children, and we would have a lot better chance of survival at this point, because right now it's very slim to none. These kids are, like, ridiculous, and I have two of them. I have two boys, and it bothers me to my soul sometimes when I look at my children, because I'm like, what the hell are you doing? But it's just the way things are. Like you said, technology changes everything. And my 10-year-old son has a cell phone. My 4-year-old son knows how to use the iPad. It's just like, that's just the kind of the times in the world that we live in. Our kids are evolving so fast. I just caught my 10-year-old son with a flip book. Like, I didn't bust him for it, because I guess maybe that was kind of my verbal, that was my confirmation that my son wasn't gay, right? Because we're just kind of like getting into that stage where you're not really sure. So for me, it was like a sigh of relief, because I was like, oh, shit, well, at least he likes girls. But he had a flip book, right? He cut out pictures of all sorts of hot chicks and pasted them in the middle of his notebook. Like, he's 10. But that's where they are now. They're starting younger and younger and younger.
That goes back to, like, when I was growing up, and I'm like, you know, I'm in my 40s, but I grew up in a single family home for a long time, but my building raised all the young men in my building. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If my friend's father was everybody's father.
Mm-hmm.
He came in the building, it was like your father walked in the building. And if we was doing wrong, he wasn't my father. He wasn't a bunch of our fathers. He was my best friend's father, but he wasn't. He whipped our ass. If he caught us doing
mm-hmm.
wrong, he whipped our ass and took us upstairs. And that was, you know, basically it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once we got away from that, society as a whole, nah, don't put your hands on my kid. And the
mm-hmm.
the babies having
got
babies.
No respect for a lot of people no more.
You know what I mean? You
mm-hmm.
you can't you as a child you don't know how to be a parent. So what do? You have a child and still want to be a child. Now your kid
mm-hmm.
is out in the streets, like you're coming home. I'm coming home 5 o'clock in the morning. I got a 10-year-old, 11-year-old telling me good night, mister. You know, what kind of shit is that? Where's your parents? Your ass supposed to be sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sit
You're
there,
right.
You watch
we
the
have
tragedy.
Gotten away from that. It does
watch
make
the tragedies on the
child.
News.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, little girl shot. Yeah, she was out 3 o'clock in the morning. She's 14 years old. Fuck, she doing out 3 o'clock in the morning? Like,
mm-hmm.
where's the
yeah.
accountability and responsibility of her parents or whoever her caregiver is to protect that child? That's your job, to protect your child.
Any kid under 18 shouldn't be outside by themselves past 8 o'clock at night. That's what
I'm like I said, I'm a 40-year-old man. And I know ain't nothing good happening after dark. So if I ain't got no place to
right.
be,
exactly.
my black ass is home.
Yep.
I'm good.
Exactly.
Plus, I'm a,
hey,
I'm
I try to hold
month.
My kids true to that method we grew up on. Be home by the time the street lights come on. So
absolutely.
I, and my
you
kids
know.
Like where we live, there's not even really street lights. But I'm like, you better use your best judgment because you're right. Nothing good happens after dark, and there's no reason that children should be out. And I don't know. I'm young. I'm 30. You know, but. Like I said, I had my son when I was young, when I was 19. And I
right.
was fortunate enough when I moved to Baltimore, you know, to kind of be taken in by some older people who helped me out a lot in terms of, you know, giving me wisdom and giving me guidance with my son. And I'm so very thankful for that to this day because old people, they knew what they were talking about and they knew what it was. And so those things are instilled in me now as a parent, you know,
mm-hmm.
having two sons. And I try to use those things still with my kids. And I'm that same way. I tell people all the time, you know, when I talk to parents of, you know, my kids' friends, I'm like, hey, if they go over to your house, please treat them the way that you would treat your own children. If they act up, please discipline them accordingly. Because you know what?
Mm-hmm.
When yours come to my house, I treat everybody the same. I don't care who your parent is. You come to my house, you're going to get treated the same way as my kids. I'll never mistreat you, but you will get treated the same. So if you have a problem with that, don't send your kids to my house. And I tell them when they go over to other people's house, you're at their house, so you cut up, they're going to deal with you. And that makes children recognize. They become more respectful that way because they
Absolutely.
Understand that just because mom can't see me doesn't mean it's okay because you never know. If Mr. So-and-so sees me out here in the street, he's liable to snatch my ass up, too. And that's the way it used to be. But now parents are so fearful, or people are so fearful of telling another kid what to do or what not to do because they don't know how the parent is going to react.
Absolutely.
And that's
unless
really
sad. Unless you got a certain bond with a parent, unless you cool, let's say it was one of your homegirls or one of your homeboys, and they'd be like, yo, if anything, yo, call me. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, the other day, I was in my house, and I smelled like something was burning. So I go in the hallway, and my homeboy's son comes out, and he throws something in the garbage. I'm like, yo, you was burning something? Yo, he's like, I was like, nah. He's like, nah, he was cooking, trying to make popcorn. All right, fine. Just make sure you good. I'm in the hallway just making sure everybody's good. So So like 3 or 4 days later, I run into his father, and I was like, yo, you know, spoke to your son. He was like, yeah, when he came home, he smelled like something was burning. And I was like, did he tell you what he was doing? He was like, no. He said, he didn't tell him what he told me. And I told him, I said, yo, he told me he was trying to make popcorn. And he's like, yo, why'd you lie to me and tell Tone that you was trying to make popcorn? And he really was, but I guess he told him a lie. He didn't lie to me. He lied to his own father. But I'm going to tell him, like, yo, he said he was making popcorn. You know, some, you know, it's weird nowadays, though. A lot of these kids don't respect older people no more. I'm 36, you know what I'm saying? And back in the days when I was 14, 15, if we saw somebody that was a friend of our parents, we shaped up quick. Now, you walk through the same teenagers, they tend to act up more. They don't care. They smoking weed on the bench and drinking. They talking about whatever. You walk through, they don't care. They curse right in front of you. And then they'll be like, well, my mother don't care. She don't care what I do. And I'll be like, that's the problem. Nobody's caring about
but
what you're doing.
It goes back to what she was saying about the gangs. Where you feel like everybody, I don't care who you are, unless you're a mountain man, you just want to be loved and accepted. And that's
mm-hmm.
how the gangs are
yeah,
getting these young
is.
Kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Nobody at home cares. I'm running the street. So you get a gang, and they make you feel like, yo, they love you. They don't tell you the pitfalls of, like, yo, when your ass get locked up, you're on your own. You know what I mean? But they'll get you in there, and once you're in there, you part of something bigger. So there goes,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm those down for
you
life.
In, like, everybody's your friend in the beginning. Everybody's giving you dap. So you feeling that. You're not getting that at home. So you're like, oh, wow.
Nah, I don't think
that that's true because, you know, to be in a gang, you got to do some real crazy shit anyway initially. So I don't think it's a matter of being so, oh, they love me so much, and so it's just a matter of being a part of something, period.
But
and
see,
that's the thing. Kids look for reactions from people. Kids look for emotions, right? That's why there are those kids out there that act up all the time in school or act up all the time at home because they want that attention. So they don't care whether it's negative or positive. Being in a gang, there's no positives to that. And I think that our children are wise enough to know that and understand that. I don't think they're stupid and naive at all. They know that gangs are bad. And they know that gangs are not good for them. But it's just a matter of being a part of it that they're okay with. So they'll take the ass whooping and be jumped in.
Because
that's essentially what happens. Right? So they'll take that ass and jump in. They know it's not all good, but they just like to say that they can be a part of it. Good or bad, this is what it is. Because
right.
they have somebody to rock with.
Because to them,
but see,
to
us,
them
us,
that's their idea
positive.
Of a family.
Right. To us, we know it's nothing positive in a gang, but see, what happens is these gangs, they try to sell it to them like, yo, these are your brothers. You go to war for your brothers and your sisters the same way as if, oh, if you had brothers at home and somebody messed with your little brother, what you going to do? You're going to go out there and defend your little brother or your little sister. So what happens is those gangs try to tell it to them, like, yo, these are your brothers now. This is your family. Whatever happens, we're going to go to war for each other, not knowing all they're doing is just setting you up to do their dirty work. Yo, go shoot that nigga. Yo, he disrespected the family. Or go sell these drugs is to bring the food to the family. You know what I'm saying? They try to sell it as everything, whatever we do is positive for the family. We know, us online right now, whoever's listening, knows that gang is not as positive in the gang. But the kid that's in the gang, they're going to sell it to him like, okay, if we move this weed, we move these drugs, that's gonna help the fan eat. You know what I'm saying? This dude disrespected one of the girls in the group or whatever. That's family. We got to get at him now.
Like I said, people just want to be accepted.
Belong, good or bad.
Because I'm part of a motorcycle club, right? You got people, and it's crazy because. I'm not even talking about children. I'm talking about grown-ups who will do anything just to be a part of some, be a part of a club.
Mm-hmm.
To say I'm somebody, to say. No, it's not just females. It's men too. But to be down, to be a part of something, to say, oh, I'm part of this club, that's, I mean, that high school shit, you should have been, whoever you wanted to be, you should have been in high school. You know what I mean? At this stage in your life, if you want to be a part of something, be a part of something because of what you can bring to the organization. But you just want to be a part of it because there's nothing at home. And I'm sitting back and you look at this like, God damn, you serious? And this is how it's playing out because these people are parents of what they call a lost generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really
sad. And you're
sad.
Right, our generation is very lost.
And really, a lot of times,
because when
those,
kids start having roles, and when rappers start becoming children's role models, that's a problem. Not to say that there's anything wrong with rap music, but we all know about the types of lyrics that make it to mainstream media. So when those types of things become what our children look forward to, there is a problem. That definitely means that somebody got lost somewhere along the way when people started thinking that this is what it's like and this is what life should be like, because it shouldn't.
Right.
It shouldn't, but that brings me back to my point in general, which is the father is the head, because you know what? If fathers were in the home, fathers were parenting their children, then children wouldn't look up to people like Wiz Khalifa as their role model, or Jay-Z's as their role model, or Rick Ross's as their role model, or whoever it is. You know, they wouldn't be fleeing to gangs, and they wouldn't be fleeing towards all of these things. And again, not saying that parents have to be perfect, because no parent is perfect. Even my kid's dad, you know, he's a two-time felon. But you know what? Even through all of his bullshit that he's done and all of the wrong choices that he's made, the one thing he is a fantastic father. Because whether he's locked up or out of prison, he always instills in his kids that this is someplace you never want to be. You never want to do this. He still is a parent. You know, even in prison, he's still a parent, and he's still teaching his son that, hey, this is the choice that I made, but you don't have to be like this. So it doesn't mean that the parent has to walk a straight line, because you can still parent from regardless of what your situation may be. You can still be a good parent and show your kids that there's something else that life has to offer. Because even though he's the way that he is, grew up gangbanging, grew up stealing, grew up running women, whatever the case may be, his children are so very different. Not just the ones that I have, but his other children are so very different. They're great students. You know, they're very respectable men. They're
That's how it was back in the day. That's how it was. Like the OGs who are getting high and selling the drugs, you be out there as little guys, we worship them. They kick you in the ass. Go to school. Don't be like me. Get an education. And that's where we messed up. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because just because I'm like this doesn't mean my sons have, or my children have to be like this. Learn from my example.
Yep.
You know, that was a great point.
Well, this show has been really good tonight. I'm sleepy as shit. I'm going to bed.
All right. Oh, Chuck. Yo. Mo, hold your head, my nigga. If you need me, just holler. He lost one of his members 2 days ago on a bike.
Oh, so, shit. I'm about to hit him up.
Yeah. So he going through it right now. I just want to let him know that, you know, that's my nigga. I love him.
Yeah, I'm about to hit him up now. Because he had called in and then he had hung up.
Yeah.
My fact, I'm going to call
everybody
him.
Have a good night.
I'm going to hit you on BBM, babe.
All right, Ma. Everybody have a good night. Be safe. See y'all in the street.
You do the good same. Night. A pleasure.
Thanks, guys, for calling in.
Oh, no worries, love.
All right, babe. Bye.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Always. Bye.